Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's foray into all that is freaky and geeky, of course. Welcome to the Freaks and Geeks Paranormal Radio Show. Thank you so much for listening in. We really appreciate it. And if you are a first timer, please join us on our Facebook page. That would be incredible. I am joined by my co-host, the patron saint of hot dogs, Carrie.
Thank you. That is quite an introduction.
Oh, do I have something for you, my darling. We're also joined by one of the crew. He is our technical advisor and always a source for a lot of laughs, my husband, Chris. Chris, are you on with us?
I thought I was the patron saint of hot dogs. You know how much I love hot dogs.
I don't think you can compare with Carrie.
That is just further evidence that we are related.
Yeah, it's insanity. It's absolutely insanity. And I have the best
runs in the blood
for you. Oh my God. Do I ever have something for you, Carrie?
Okay,
I'm actually, like, listen, so I need you to know how much I love you.
So that's how bad whatever you're getting ready to say is going to be.
Oh, I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to send it to you on Facebook. I'm going to send it to you right now on Facebook so we can do this live. So we can have this reveal, like, real time. And I'm going to post it. I'll post it to your, first of all, it's going to kind of suck right now because it's the proof concept. I have to, like, accept it. Let's see. I'm trying to get some extra large icons here. Oh shit. It's just goddamn fantastic.
I'm
the most
I'm
professional podcast right here.
Yeah, well, it's I'm telling you, it's in your Facebook right now. I have had I've commissioned this drawing for you.
It's dick butt.
It's not dick butt. Here, babe, I'm gonna show you too.
Oh, help me, Jesus.
Be fuck out.
Hey, Carrie, patron saint of hot dogs.
Oh no.
I'm gonna post this on the Freaks and Geeks page right now, so everybody can see this. What I've done.
What is she doing with that hot dog? Because that's not how you hold it to eat it.
It's because she's the patron saint of hot dogs, so she's blessing the hot dog.
Oh, she's not. Oh, she's blessing it, all right.
And then you have a shrieking possum
right
in the back.
Now.
Huh?
I am crying. That is the best thing I have ever seen.
I love how the tiara kind of looks like she just has crystals jammed in the top of her
That's
head.
That's it. It's just crystals. Well, it's crystals. I told them to make it look like she was throwing crystals.
Oh my God, I even have a freaking hologram necklace on.
Oh. It's gonna be an hour just of you two laughing your butts off because of this incredible
kitchen. Oh my God. I paid for this. Okay. I paid for it. So that's goddamn fantastic. Oh.
Well, that is the best gift that I have ever received.
I didn't see it big. That one's big. Oh, my God. I told her to make sure that you had a lot of necklaces on. And you had crystals. You had rings on every finger. The face is not real good, but the face is not very you, but the rest of it is spot on.
I'm pretty sure you peed yourself by now.
Oh, yeah. Man. You know what? worth the money. He's definitely worth the money.
Even got the baby hands. Just
little bit. There's only one though. Okay, so this was from Maria Salas on Fiverr.com. She is an incredible artist. She is doing. She basically put this together for me. I like put out this call and I was like, I need someone to do a caricature of my friend. And it's got to have a lot of hot dogs in it. I would like it to look like one of those. I want it to look like one of those saint candles. And I want her to be the patron saint of hot dogs. So there's got to be a lot of hot dogs, but there also needs to be a lot of crystals. There's going to be a lot of crystals involved in this, and she always wears plaid, so you have to have plaid in there as well. And I said, and you need to make her look concerned, because she looks concerned all the time. Like, whenever we're together, she looks concerned. So these are the elements that you need to have in this picture. And she did a fantastic job. Like, she's incredible.
You know, the one thing I think it's missing is, like, hot dogs raining from the sky.
Well, she's not even done. She actually sent me a message. She says, hey, delivering the order before doing digital editing of the background to stop the timer and prevent from being marked late. We'll send the final version in a couple hours. In the meantime, you can have a sneak peek. So this is the sneak peek. But I posted it to Facebook.
That's the sneak peek? Oh, Jesus Christ.
That is, yeah.
Oh,
this,
Lordy.
This is glorious. Glorious.
Well, today's episode brought to you by hot dogs. Oscar Mayer, if you want to throw a sponsor our way.
Yeah, I would love an Oscar sponsor. Just send me one package a week.
Oh, man. Babe, what you doing?
I'm trying to see if I need to accept this or wait. Okay, so we'll see what she comes up with next. But everybody can see it. If you go to the Facebook page, you get to see Carrie, the patron saint of hot dogs.
That is just a perfection. This is all it is. It is perfection.
Yep. Yeah, it's just incredible. And now I'm going to tell everybody where to get this incredible artist. There we go. Okay, so back to real life where we talk about fairies, because that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about fairies. I have a special fairy noise that I've been working on, and I'll just save that for later.
I can't wait to hear that.
That's a surprise to me, too. I haven't heard this.
Oh, I've been working on it. It's going to be good. You'll know when it happens. Tonight, we are going to venture into the Fae of the British Isle. Pixies, brownies, goblins, banshees, and more. And we're going to do that right after the jump. Thank you. Well, you know what, Chris? Your intro is long.
I know. Hey, just off the top. Oh, Jesus. No. My
mic. Did you fall off the bed?
No, my microphone fell over. Because I have the best recording set up right now. Barbara Bush died.
Yeah. We knew that was going to happen. Well, they've been posting about her for a couple weeks now. About, you know, just kind of the end of her life. I think she's been in hospice. So it's not super surprising, but that is sad. I think Barbara Bush is a nice lady.
She's coming back as a fae, and that's how you tie it in. Boom.
Maybe she's coming back as a fae. I would hope so. Like I said, I think she's a really nice lady, so she would probably make a very nice fae.
So, speaking of, I saw that she had passed away today, and somehow got linked to this story this guy wrote about his theory that her true father is none other than the power bottom of the century, Aleister Crowley.
Famous power bottom.
Oh, if there was an Olympic medal for power bottoming, it would be Aleister Crowley.
Swear, that man, if it's supernatural, that man had some hand in it.
It was kind of a convincing argument. There were like side by side photos, and I was like, it was too close to the edge for me, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go ahead and just leave this right now.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. That's a little too far beyond my mental capacity at the moment.
You're still stuck on hot dog picture.
I'm just thinking about Aleister Crowley and how pervy he is, and how I don't want to associate that with Barbara Bush. She's a sweet old lady. Shame on all of you.
I know nothing when it comes to the Fae or the British Isles, so this will be fun for me because it'll be a learning experience.
Why, yeah, you say that. Are you here to keep us on topic?
I mean, no.
See, he says that, but then watch what will happen. We'll be talking about something. We'll be talking about brownies or something like that. And he'll be like, oh, yes, well, in the 1700s, the folk around there were technically based off of the type of vegetation that was in, you know, Ireland at that time, or the British Isles at that time. That was there was definitely a lot of supernatural occurrences, but it was just based off of the vegetation, and it's because it had like a 0.204 nitrogen level. Like, he'll just come up with some craziness. So just let's get ready for that. So let's just get right into our topic tonight. Let's forego that. The Fae of the British Isles, right? England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales.
Yes. So I've been looking forward to this all week. Well, looking forward to, and also slightly apprehensive of.
Apprehensive. Why so?
Well, why else am I usually apprehensive? Aliens.
It's been too long for between hot dogs, but yes.
Yes. It's been too
you
long.
You do have a thing about aliens.
It's been too long between hot dogs or aliens. So in this case, it's aliens.
So what are aliens? How does that tie in, though? I mean, what's going on?
So it ties into kind of one certain type of fae, the Thua de Danann, which is usually translated as the tribe of Danu, although there is some discussion about whether Danu is the name of their goddess or a ruler. The Thua de Danann were known to be skilled in art and science, poetry, and magic, and they are mainly located in Ireland. They were said to come from four mythical cities, Phalias, Gorias, Phineas, and Murias. And when they came to live in Ireland, the Danann received four magic treasures, or talismans, one from each city. Before they migrated to Ireland, they learned all of their skills from four wizards or bards, druids possibly, from each of these four cities. Morfisa from the Phalias, Ezras from the Gorius, Semias from Urius, and Eusias from Phindius. After the Milesians defeated the Danans either retreated to Tir-Nanog, land of the youth, or they continued to live on the land with the Milesians, but their homes or subterranean palaces were hidden by magic from the eyes of mortals. Their homes were commonly called Shi, or the other world. Another name for the Thuadei Danann was the Aes Shedai, or the people of the Shay. In the other world, the Danann remained young and seemingly immortal. Immortal in the sense that they can live a very long life and remain young, never dying, but they can be killed or destroyed, just like a mortal. And there were frequent visits of the Danann with the mortals. Sometimes they aided mortals, other times they sought their destruction. Sometimes they sought marriage with the mortals. Most of the times, though, the Danann would come to the surface and meet their lovers. Other times, the mortals were allowed to live with them. Although there is a kind of, as typically with stories of the other world, if you eat there, you're kind of stuck there.
So can we just characterize real quick what these things look like? Or are we getting into that?
We are getting to that.
Okay, because I'm just, like, I'm trying to, you know what? Let me not complete that thought. Basically, the lovers, I want to know how that works.
I mean, okay. I'm excited to learn about this, too. I mean, I'm getting kind of worked up over here. Hearing about this?
Well, listen, there is a whole book series that I am going to put you on to.
Oh.
Is it like Fae Erotica? What are we talking about here?
It's maybe not quite to that point, but in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Oh.
It's more like historically romancy kind of stuff, but like super duper heavy on like the mythology and just this amazing, and then there's, you know, some side tracks into other stuff.
It sounds like a great book for us to read together, honey.
Oh,
it's a whole series. There's like 20 of the books.
Oh, I'm totally getting it.
Oh.
No, not into it. All right. Well, let's see. We'll get down here to the description, and you might we might convert you. So, in the Ulster cycle, the Thuadei Danann were still seen as Celtic deities. However, in the Fenian cycle, the Danann had degenerated into nothing more than Fae people. In other words, the Danann became the fairy people. The Thuadei Danann became frequently associated with fairies. Because of the Christian influences in the myths, some of them died in old age when they leave the other world. And if they were baptized before their death, they could, you know, basically go the mortal way and go to heaven, all that. It should be noted that the fairies and Celtic myths, especially Irish, Welsh, and Arthurian myths, had nothing to do with the tiny pixie with wings that are found in folklore and children's fairy tales like Tinkerbell and Peter Pan or the fairy godmother in Cinderella. The fairies found here were human-like with supernatural power. Modern interpretations of fairies tend to prettify them, particularly during the Victorian period and 19th century Britain. In early Irish and Welsh literature, they could be tall or short, beautiful or ugly. They can be benevolent beings, but at other times they can be frighteningly cruel or malignant. So lots of descriptions are they're fair-skinned, light or even red hair, tall, just ethereal, beautiful people. And here's where we get into the alien part. In the Book of Invasions, compiled in 1150, it claims in a poem that they came to Ireland riding in flying ships surrounded by dark clouds. They landed on, I'm probably going to butcher this, Flay on Iron, or the Iron Mountain, in County Leitrim, where they brought a darkness over the sun that lasted 3 days. And a line that sort of particularly illustrates the just bewilderment felt at these conquerors is, "The truth is not known. Beneath the sky of stars, whether they were of heaven or earth. A later version of the story relegates the flying ships to mere sailing ships. The dark clouds become towering columns of smoke as the ships were set alight, a warning to observers that the Danann were here to stay. Now, clearly the monks that were recording this story were trying to make sense of something that was well out of their comfort zone and beyond the limits of their understanding. So we have the first dilemma. Which story to believe? Did they could ride from the skies or from across the sea? And so more of a description of what they look like. They certainly look very different to the small, dark native peoples of Ireland at the time. The Danann are generally described as tall, slim, but powerful, with red or blonde hair, bluer green eyes, and pale skin. To wandering onlookers, they must indeed have seemed like living gods walking the earth. And interestingly, archaeology has unearthed evidence all around the world of small colonies of red-haired people from about the same time period as the Thuadé Danann's arrival in Ireland. Excavations in the Yangtze province in China have revealed mummies with red or blonde-haired people living around 4,000 years ago. The extremely well-preserved Egyptian mummy of nobleman Yoya, circa 1400 BC, shows that he had blonde hair and Nordic features, as did his wife Thuya. She was also Tutankhamun's great-grandmother. Archaeologists try to explain reddish hair color as resulting from the mummification process, or from lying in peat bogs, or simply from hundreds or thousands of years of aging. Genetic testing has proven that snowy-maned Egyptian pharaoh Ramses II was red-haired before he grew old. And what's the explanation for that? How do experts explain the Egyptian statues depicted with red or blonde hair and, in some cases, blue eyes? So you into the fairies now?
I mean, I'm into it because what it sounds like is the song Come Sail Away by Styx. That's where they got all of their inspiration for the song. As you know, I mean, they thought they were going on a boat, and it turns out they were going on a spaceship. These fairies were just coming to visit them.
Fairies or aliens?
Where in the world did you come from, Christopher? I don't know.
From heaven.
Oh, heaven said.
I'm what you needed.
Well, so does that mean then? Okay, so cool. We got these red-headed fools running around, descendants of aliens or descendants of Danann. And how exactly? So does that mean that all red-headed people are part alien?
So, I've got a couple ideas or the thoughts here. So, if you want to go the alien route, you know, as you know, when people take a DNA test, sometimes there is unassigned DNA, as in your DNA does not match any people's that we have tested on Earth's DNA. We don't know what this is.
No.
Is it alien?
That didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I mean, I can believe that would happen. You imagine how many people get tested. There's bound to be something that pops up. They're like, you're weird. We've never seen this before.
What?
I mean,
yeah.
My brain can't fathom this.
Unassigned DNA.
Aliens.
It's a technical term for aliens.
I mean, okay, so we know the Neanderthal DNA. That's pretty well researched. So, you know, some of the test points for me in particular will tell you. You have, you know, this much from Neanderthals, and, you know, these are the predicted traits you might have from them. But what about the, what are the other ancient peoples that were in Asia that they've only found, like, a piece of a tooth? And something else.
Pubic hair.
What?
I said pubic hair.
Oh,
no, I don't think it was that. I don't. No, no.
Oh, I say pubic hair, and it's too far. But Christopher wants to have a fae romance. with a series of books with erotica, and you're everyone's fine with it. Okay, you know what? Fuck me, right? Fine.
Well, I mean, if we get them books, I mean, we'll just see where the night takes us. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so it's like the Florenzius, the home of Florenzius, like the super tiny people that they found, you know, in the islands in like southern Asia. What are the people? The other ancient people.
What are you talking about?
She's in her wheelhouse right now. Just let her go.
There have been other species of humans. Denisovians. That's the other one. The Denisovians.
It's humanity.
So there was another type of ancient human. So our human ancestors lived the same time as the Neanderthals, right? But they're separate species, but we share a common ancestor. There's another group called the Denisovians that we also had some overlap with in Asia that were another separate species of human.
So
could that unassigned DNA be Denisovian or some other as yet identified species
of
human? Sure.
Wouldn't it be identified though if we think it's Denisovian?
Right, if we think it's Denisovian, but they also found the Homo florentius that were like the hobbit-sized humans that lived in like, gosh, where is that at?
I tell you what, you know what I want to imagine is that like there's some Romeo and Juliet style affair going on between these like different, I guess, races, to where one race is mad because like a higher up of one of the other races is dating another one of the other race, and that excites me.
Well, I mean, kind of. That's what happened with the Neanderthals and the humans. In Europe, Neanderthals and the ancient humans interacted, bred together, and had children, and that's why if you have European ancestors, you have a good chunk of Neanderthal DNA. And
you know what I imagine that... If they got married, you want to know why I imagine that they threw at weddings that wasn't rice?
Let's hear it. Poop.
Their poop.
What has happened? What has happened to this?
Christopher and I are just the same person. Like that's
you know
that
how
was,
I know this
error.
Shit is fucked up? I know this shit is fucked up because I'm just staring at the microphone like the microphone has offended me. What's happening? Okay.
Are you gonna throw a ball at it too? Like you
oh
did
my
earlier
God.
Today?
Oh jeez. Oh God. Drama queen. You hit him in the nuts one time and he won't let you live it down. He won't let you live it down. You know, I really thought he was going to catch it. First of all, Carrie, you know how I throw. I am not an athlete.
Yes, like, I will agree to that, yes.
So I lobbed a dog toy at him, at his genital region, and it just so happened to connect. And then he laid on the floor and screamed for probably 10 minutes.
Don't forget the fact that the dog was doing laps around our bedroom, jumping over me while I was on the floor writhing in pain.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Apparently she was excited to watch me just wiggling on the floor.
And making little noises. You know what? We don't want to hear about your balls right now. We want to hear about Danon.
Yes, I would rather hear about Danon too, to be honest with you.
Okay. So, back to the Danon. In order to win supremacy over the peoples of Ireland, they had to fight against the existing ruling tribes the Fir Bolg in the First Battle of Moytura. During this encounter, the Danann High King, Nutha Orgaslam, lost his arm. He survived, but was forced to give up his position as the king could not be seen as anything less than whole if he was to bring his people continued success. In an intriguing turn of events, Dan Kett replaced the lost limb with a fully functional arm of silver. Later, Dion's sixth son, Miak, also a physician, caused skin and flesh to grow over the metal arm. Thus, whole again, the king was restored to Nuasa following the ousting of his replacement. So, here's another kind of weird, advanced, kind of strange thing. Could this be a prosthesis, a robotic arm that was built over 4,000 years ago, and then later skin was grown over it?
I don't think silver would be the best thing to make an arm out of.
I feel like this is an episode of Game of Thrones.
maybe he had to work with what was handy. Well, Game of Thrones, like, seriously, the whole series is based on just ancient, and in some cases not so ancient history. They're all based on historical figures. All of the stories. All of it.
I want DNA testing done of Jon Snow.
Well, he's one of the Fuidae Danann.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he is.
Maybe that's what's going to happen.
Last season, it's just all the fairies come out.
Fuck you, George R.R. Mountain. Whatever his
name
is. Mountain.
George R.R.
Mountain.
I mean, he is as big as a mountain. So.
Fuck you, George R.R. Mountain. God damn it. God damn it. You know who I'm talking about. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Now we know what happens. So now you don't even have to watch the end of it.
So would you say that the group that we've been talking about has connections to, like, leprechauns?
Well, maybe not these particular ones.
I think
one.
So.
Yeah.
Aren't
totally
leprechauns
different.
Considered fey?
They are, and there's so many different types of fey.
Yeah.
This is just one kind.
We were legit going to do one episode on all the different types of fae, and then Carrie got up with me and was like, I don't think we can do that. I've already had to cut it down to one specific geographic region, and even now I'm on 22 pages. So, no, there's a lot of fae. There's a lot of fae out there.
Yeah, a lot of fae, a lot of variations, just.
I feel that's the biggest thing, is that, like, you don't even have to go probably that far geographically to find just, like, small variations of the different, like, types. Like, they might have the same name, but this group thinks that they look this way, or and then you go a little bit further, and this group thinks that they look a little bit different.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true, and it could be even just a slight variation in name, like a Boggart, or, you know, in other places they're called, you know, something that just is slightly different.
Isn't that a closet that holds your fears?
In Harry Potter it is, yes.
Oh,
but
okay.
A lot of those creatures in Harry Potter are based on these ancient myths about the Fae.
Oh, I learned something new today.
Even old Dobby himself. Which we'll get to either later in this episode or next week.
Yes. Yes.
Fae of the British House, part two.
Yeah,
probably
a two-parter.
Yeah, it's almost definitely going to be a two-parter. We are 35 minutes in, and we're on page 4. So.
Might be more than
part
a two-parter. On the Fae of the British Isles.
On the Fae of the British Isles.
Hey,
we
you know
just,
you've made it when you start doing 3-part episodes.
Just, we are super into it. Super into it.
Okay.
All right.
So
let's
try to get through the Danann tonight.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the 4 treasures or the jewels of Ire.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, so the Danann actually brought special equipment with them into Ireland. So they brought these 4 treasures / the jewels of Ire. yet another reason that they might be aliens. But the first one is the Sword of Light, which is known as the Cleave Shullis. It was said to have been made by Uscias in the northern city of Findias and brought to Ireland by Nuada, and that no one ever escaped from it once it was drawn against them. It was also described as a glowing white torch. The similarities to the imaginary lightsaber are quite striking. Could this sword have been some kind of futuristic laser weaponry? It's a lightsaber.
It does sound like a lightsaber.
It does sound like a lightsaber.
Aliens.
Or, Christopher, isn't there in WoW, isn't there some sword that is on fire?
I mean, there's plenty of those, yeah.
Well.
I mean, you could just enchant your weapon to be on fire if you wanted to, but that's... We're getting into
there's a ton of different like fiery weapons and mythology too.
Fiery weapons. There's also Lu's spear, also known as the finest famous yew of wood, said to have been made by Esthras in the northern city of Gorias. Lu used it to kill his Formorian grandfather, the giant king Balor, at the second battle of Moytura. Although some versions of the story claim he used a sling. It has been suggested that Lu's spear, the spear Crimal, which blinded High King Cormac Mac Iron, rendering him unfit for rule, and the Luan Chelter are one and the same a weapon, although there is no evidence to back this up. The Luan Chelter is a fascinating legend. It was a long, fiery lance from which sparks as big as eggs flew. When the spear heat takes hold of it, in order to prevent the flames of the tip from consuming the haft and the warrior holding it, the spearhead was dipped into a cauldron of mysterious sorcerous liquid. Sounds like metal. In the destruction of Dad Derge's hostel, a saga of the Ulster cycle of mythology, the Luan Chelter is claimed to have been discovered at the Battle of Moytura, the same battle where Lu killed Balor. This spear, then, could well be Lu's and seems to possess many of the qualities of the Sword of Light. It could be another product of advanced technology, perhaps even an alien one. Ooh.
Like, you're reading off these things, and all I'm thinking is it sounds like the intro to a Dark Souls game, now, which I don't think you know what that is, but just know that it's, like, one of the hardest games ever made, and this is a geeky podcast, so I assume people who listen might know it, but... That's literally what it sounds like. And after the show, I'll show you what the intro to it looks like, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
You are saying that like you think I care.
I mean, you might care. I mean...
He's going to make me watch the intro regardless, but...
Till death do his part, babe.
Oh, my God. I have to watch so many intros. I have to watch intros. I have to watch backstories. I have to watch, like...
I mean, you have to know...
Lore... Do I have to know?
Hashtag lore nerd.
Okay. So the Dagda's Cauldron was another one of these instruments. It was also known as the Cauldron of Plenty or the Cuíre Onsic in Irish. It was made by Semias in the northern city of Murias. Apparently everything comes from Murias. Not much is known about the vessel, though, although it was said to have had the power to bring the dead back to life and that none would go from it unsatisfied. Dr. Ulf Erlingsson has suggested the giant stone basin found in the northeastern passage of the central mound at Noth, part of the New Grange complex, could be in Dagda's cauldron, and that the concentric circular design depicted on it could be a map of Atlantis, as described by Plato. How could the Danann have come by this knowledge? Because they're aliens. That's how. The Lea Fail, also known as the Stone of Destiny, and the Coronation Stone. It was made by Morfessa of Falaise and brought to Ireland by the Danann, where they duly placed it in the Hill of Tara in County Meath. Legend has it that its cry confirmed the coronation of the rightful High King of Ireland, and that its roar could be heard throughout the land. It was broken in half sometime later by Chichilian when it failed to proclaim him or his protege. One half was carried away to Scotland, where it was eventually ended up in the throne of the British monarchy, although there is a whisper that the true stone was hidden, possibly beneath the River Tay, and remains there to this day. A stone with a voice sounds too fanciful to be true, but perhaps it was misunderstood. Perhaps the stone was no more than a stage upon which the new king stood. Perhaps the voice which roared out across the land was amplified through a microphone. Perhaps a technology so tiny and unobtrusive as the wireless ear mics currently worn by pop stars today when performing. More famously known as Tir na n'Og, or the Land of the Ever Young, this was thought of as the original home of the Danann. It could be reached through water by traveling west over the sea or passing through the gateways of the Sidd Mounds. In these places, the veil between the worlds was considered very thin and therefore more easily traversable. Perhaps the most interesting aspect of the magical realm is not the eternal youth, beauty, and joy and plenty it represents, but the passage of time attributed to it. In Tir na n'Og, time seems to stand still, while in the mortal world, it passes in the blink of an eye. The story of Oisin, Fionn Mac Cumhail's son, and the otherworld lover, Neamh, illustrates this perfectly. After three blissful years in the magical realm, Oisin returns home to find 300 years have passed. When he falls from his horse and his feet touch Ireland's soil, age catches up with him and he dies an old man. This idea of infinite paradise where no one grows old and time has no meaning has parallels with space travel, alternate dimensions, and even the mundane, such as advancements in healthcare and medicine. Were the Danann immortal? Not in the absolute sense of living forever. They could be killed in battle or by sickness, although compared with natives at that time, they were clearly long-lived. Even modern men would have seemed ageless and long-lived in comparison with our early ancestors. The reign of the Danann came to an end in just two battles with the Milesians, whom historians and scholars alike agree were probably the first Gaels in Ireland. Not only were the Danann defeated by military might, but by cunning too. It was agreed that the new invaders in the Danann would each rule half of Ireland, and so it was that the Imogen of the Milesians chose that half of Ireland which lay above ground, leaving the Danann to retreat below. They were led away to their new domain via the Sidd Mountains by Manann, god of the sea, who then shielded them from mortal eyes by raising an enchanted mist known as the Faith Fida. Doesn't this sound a lot like Atlantis?
Like Manamana.
Atlantis-y?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think it sounds...
Where's Atlantis, like, quote-unquote, supposed to have been?
Do you want stories, or do you want, like, more historically based theories?
I would say probably the latter. In
the middle of the Atlantic, but, you know, it's more thought presently that Atlantis was probably an island in the Mediterranean. But going back to the description, it's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Why would they go to war? Why wouldn't you just be like, hey, take me to your land so I can live forever?
Yeah, true. I mean, were they another species of humans? If you're in the Mediterranean, to get to Ireland, you'd have to go out into the Atlantic Ocean, you know? And then go north, of course, but... There are a ton of theories, like how they could be like the descendants of Noah and, you know, a bunch of people in the Bible. And there's so many theories about where they came from.
What do you think? What do you think they are?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're another species of humans. Or a variation of humans.
Another
fish
species
people.
Of humans. Fish people.
Fish people. Well, another species of humans. I mean, like the Neanderthals,
Still blowing my mind with all that stuff. It's the first time I've heard that. So So now I'm going to be looking up a bunch of stuff after this show.
So if I'm understanding it right, based on what you were talking about, the fae people were beaten up by humans and then driven underground.
Yes. Go ahead.
That seems very short-sighted to humans. Just saying. it doesn't seem like there would be a reason to beat them up. Unless they were jealous.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happened with the Neanderthals, is our human ancestors killed them or bred them out of existence.
You guys walk funny. We need to get rid of you.
Or bred them into existence. I mean, because they bred them into this society.
Yeah.
That's a much nicer way to go about, you know, I guess killing off a race or a species.
Well,
I guess it'd be more species than race.
Let me also pause this. If you were to describe a typical Norwegian-y person, what would you say they look like?
Tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, Viking-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're talking about Leif Erikson, because I think he looked different, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, but just your stereotypical Norwegian person.
Yeah, pretty much that way.
And you know where a very high concentration of the Europeans with Neanderthal variants is? Northern Europe.
Bet you're gonna
say. The north you go, the higher the variants are.
Science.
Hmm. Do I have any Neanderthal variants?
Yeah, everybody with European DNA does.
And we found out that you're pretty Irish, babe.
Yeah, we did.
I can't remember your login for 23andMe, but just as an example, my father has 277, my mother has 296, my grandfather has 308, which is more than 90% of the people that have tested with 23andMe. And his the average percentage of DNA for people of European descent to be Neanderthal is about 2%. My grandfather, 4% of his DNA is Neanderthal DNA. And there have been a lot of fossils dredged up, mammoths, saber-toothed tigers. Neanderthals and humans were known to be living together in an area of land called Doggerland, which is now submerged underwater, but it's in the North Sea. And like kind of the ring between Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and, you know, the UK.
I'm looking to see what my...
You have to rename this episode to Neanderthals and Fae.
I have 235 Neanderthal variants.
Yeah, 235. That's a good amount.
So this is less than 90%. I don't have very many Neanderthal variants.
Ooh. It's okay. I still love you.
I'm so British and Irish. It's just ridiculous.
Well, maybe you might be a descendant of a fae.
Maybe.
Yeah, so one of my grandfather's haplogroups, I can't remember whether his maternal or his paternal haplogroup. So that's like maternal haplogroup is your mother's 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 mother, as far back as you can go. And so it's his father's. His father's. The paternal haplogroup goes back to Doggerland. So I think that's why he has such a high percentage.
I just want to imagine that place has just dogs running all over the place.
Just dogs everywhere.
Yes. I am king of the dogs.
So, and hey, April, what does my grandfather look like?
He looks like a Native American.
No, my dad's dad. Sorry, this is my
the other grandfather.
Don't remember.
Oh, tall, thin, fair-skinned, blonde-haired, and blue-eyed.
I'm trying to remember. Do we go to his house and play basketball? Is that what we do? Is that with him, or is that your mom's dad?
No, that's my mom's dad.
Oh, okay. I have distinct memories of playing basketball in his driveway, I believe.
Yeah, it's my mom's dad. So even my last name comes from just a description. My last name is Longest, which literally in medieval times it was long, and that was a nickname to call many people.
I'm just gonna leave that one alone.
Indubitably.
Well, just I guess since we don't have too much time left, exactly like around how many different fae exist on the British Isles, would you say?
Oh God, so we didn't even get through the entirety of the first one that I planned to talk about, and I only.
I apologize for that. I probably derailed it.
I only chose four, and that took up the 22 pages. So
wow.
There are just a ton. In addition to the Duodenon, there are brownies, pixies, sprites.
What's a brownie? But I mean, besides the thing you eat.
Yeah, it's more like a house, a friendly house. I don't want to say spirit, but, you know, helper being. Like, we're going to talk about it more next week's episode, but you know the story about, like, the cobbler and the elves came out and helped him at night? That's kind of, like, what a brownie would do. Help you with stuff.
See, I always thought a brownie was one that was thought to be more, like,
mischievous?
Aggressive and, like, ill-tempered.
Well, if you offend them and they take offense easily, then they can definitely cause some problems. That
sounds
is
like
the
Puck Wedgie of Native American.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is
Puck
Wedgie,
for sure.
The biggest takeaway from all this research that I did on the Fae is kind of going back to our video from our trip the other day, what was the quote that you said? Treat me good and I'll treat you better.
Yeah, treat me bad and I'll treat you worse.
Yeah, that's kind of like the motto of the Fae. Like, you treat them good, they're going to take care of you. If you don't give them the proper respect and, you know, offerings and stuff, they're going to fuck you up.
Well, I think the question on everybody's mind is going to be, do leprechauns exist in the way that we view them in the horror movie of the same name?
I don't think it's quite like that. I think that
little ugly creatures with scraggly beards. Blech.
Let me see. I'm just doing a little. It's creepy.
I'm kind of going in and out.
The internet's saying that you shall not speak. Well, we have April, the remix version of April.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Just once in a while.
Well, she doesn't treat her tech right. So if you don't treat your tech right, it won't treat you right.
That's what happens. Well, I've gotten my first confirmed spirit communication from the other side. April has died.
I am taking over the host now. Woohoo!
Was this your plan all along?
Ah, yes, I shall. I have infiltrated, and now I shall take over. Did you get a chance to listen to last week's episode? Because I think it was real good.
I didn't, but I promise I'll listen tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about it. And she said that you want to get in on it and mentioned maybe another separate podcast, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, she brought it up, and I was like, well, I mean, you already have a geeky podcast, so what exactly do you want me to do? What do you expect me and you to do as far as a podcast together? Because that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff we stick to is kind of more, I mean, of course we're geeky, but we kind of get more into the paranormal for the most part.
You guys definitely have a lot more experience when it comes to that because, like I tell April, I'm pretty sure I'm just, like, ghost repellent. Because, as April puts it, I don't open up enough. So,
yeah.
Like, every time I'm around, nothing happens. But, like, the last time she went to Edgewood, which I think you were there, I didn't go, because I was at home watching our little Puckwudgie. And, she was like, yeah, we had so much stuff. I was like, what? Why? I go out with you and hope to find something, and nothing happens. And you go, and you're like, we had so much activity. I'm so jealous.
Honestly, genuinely surprised by the amount of stuff that was happening in the slave quarters at Edgewood this last time.
They're getting angry that there's so many people.
Maybe, just nothing ever happens in there, but it was just out of control, man.
Yeah, I got to listen to some of the EVPs, and some of them, I was just like, April, just like, here, listen to this, and it's like, I could pick up on it, like, without her telling me anything as far as what I was listening for, which is nuts.
Yes, yeah, the one, I Found a Body, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was... Like, I couldn't tell what it was saying because I told her what I thought it said, and it was like, I thought it was saying, like, you know, it was cursing at you guys. But she's like, well, if you listen, this is what we think it sounds like. And I know the influence as far as, like, what you're listening for if somebody tells you what it is, blah, blah, blah. But it, like, I was missing a syllable at the beginning. And that's what it made sound like it was cursing at you guys, which, I mean, that again wouldn't be far from the truth because, I mean, it's not the first time you guys have been cursed at Edgewood, so.
Yeah, very true. Well, we are just about out of time, so join us next week when we continue with part two of The Fair Folk of the British Isles.
Bye, everybody. I know April's saying bye right now, even though you can't hear.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.